Good afternoon. Joining us on the line now is author Barbara Berger, who's known and loved around the world for her many books about the amazing power of the mind, including her international bestseller, The Road to Power, Fast Food for the Soul. It's to date sold some 1 million copies worldwide. Today, she's talking about stress, as there's a whole chapter in her book, Healthy Models for Relationships, about dealing with stress. She's also had lots of experience working with people who are on sick leave because of stress. Welcome to the show, Barbara.
Thank you. It's so nice to be back and to hear your voice again.
Ah, lovely to have you back and to hear your voice again. So we're talking stress today. It's an interesting one because it's quite subjective, isn't it? Different people feel stress for different reasons.
Well, stress is sort of a headline, an overall catch-all that people, you know, whatever's bothering them, it's stress. But it's really, really important that people experience the same events differently. So what stresses one person maybe is very exciting and challenging for another person. So the whole use of the word stress in our society, and as you said, I work as a coach and a therapist, it's sort of a catch-all for when people just don't feel good, they're stressed.
And more people, are some people more prone to stress, do you think?
Definitely. Because the thing I have learned, I've been coaching people and I'm a therapist for so many years. So many of the people who come to me are on sick leave because of stress. And it's a very, very subjective experience, stress. But if we should define it, I would say the best definition is that when a person feels overwhelmed, when they feel that the resources that they have or that they perceive that they have don't match the challenge, then they feel overwhelmed. But the problem with this is that what feels overwhelming to one person doesn't necessarily feel overwhelming to another person.
Yeah.
And so when we discover that, that's sort of what got me on the track of trying to find out, so what is it in terms of a person's internal makeup that makes them more prone to stress? And I have discovered that it's that people who are probably perfectionists, or they're people pleasers, or they're overly responsible, or, you know, that they feel that they have to take care of everybody. These are the kind of people who are more prone to experience life, their workplace or their home life, as stressful, because they basically have unrealistic expectations to their own performance.
So we need to learn to let things go a bit more then, do you think?
Yeah, I mean, when people come to me, I coach them in what I call sane self-talk. And by sane self-talk, I mean having a more realistic understanding of actually the human condition, that we are all imperfect beings, that we all have strengths and weaknesses. No one is perfect. No one can figure everything out. And so a more, you could say, easygoing and relaxed attitude towards one's own performance. And again, I'm not saying that people shouldn't do their best. That's not what I'm saying. But to be realistic about what is possible to do.
Yeah. Something which I've worked on over the years and feel like I'm much better off, better with it now, is not getting stressed about things that are completely out of your control and are to do with other people or circumstance or whatever. Yeah. So I used to get really stressed at work many years ago now. But if I, you know, had a live interview with a guest and couldn't get the guest on the line, I'd be panicking, going, "Oh no, they're not there. I'm not going to get them." And it would stress me out. And now I'm just like, "Oh, I'll put some music on then." You know, like, what can you do if they're not answering the phone? You can't interview them, so you just have to play some music.
Go with the flow.
Yeah.
Well, again, that sort of comes under, you know, if I would say having peace of mind is to have a realistic assessment of what can you actually do something about and what can you do nothing about. That's what you're actually saying there. And that's such a valuable skill. That we understand that we're just not in control of what's going on. None of it. As you say, if you can't get a hold of someone, or if you, people don't meet their deadlines, or whatever it is, you, in other words, you can try to be assertive, you can ask for what you need, but most of it we can't control.
Yeah. Yeah, and a lot to do with work is also time management and planning and being able to delegate, all those kind of things can help.
All those things definitely help. And to be more realistic about that, too, for example, in terms of how long everything takes, I always say one of my rules to people is that everything, when you do your daily planning, everything takes 15 to 25% longer than you think it'll take. That's just sort of like a rule. And if we just that one thing helps people so much.
Yeah.
And then the other thing that really helps people a lot in terms of their work situation, I always say in terms of prioritizing things, that it's really, really important to make two lists about all your to-do things, the need to do and the nice to do.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and people, definitely.
Yeah, people who do that, just that exercise, instead of just making your to-do list for the day, for the week, for the month, make two lists, need to do and nice to do. It's like, it's a lifesaver.
Yeah.
So much of what people think they need to do is really nice to do.
Yeah. And also just breaking it down so you're doing one thing at a time. Sometimes it's really easy to get overwhelmed because you know you have a lot to do, whether it's to do with a mixture of work, family, going to the bank, paying a bill, putting the washing on, you know, whatever. So many different things that you do feel that you need to do, and you can't do them all at the same time. So learning to kind of prioritize and say, okay, what's the thing that needs to happen first? Yeah, go and pay the bill. Okay, go and pay the bill. That's done. Okay, now I can concentrate on something else. And, you know, instead, because sometimes you can just go, oh, I've got so much to do. And you hear people saying that a lot. You know, that's quite a common thing for people to express. Oh, I've got so much to do.
But I think that the other thing that has changed to the is this whole thing that, because there are so many more women in the workplace today. So the work-life balance, in other words, the balance between the job and all the tasks that are waiting at home. And especially when I have couples who come, I do couple therapy also, that it's often that their expectations to the level of maintenance, for example, at home, can be pretty unrealistic. And so all of these different factors, they play into this increasing feeling of never enough time, always running, feeling stressed all the time. There's never any time for me and all that stuff. I hear it every day. So it's really a question about being more realistic about how life is, how much we can actually do, and that it's okay.
Yeah. And it's awful to think how many people must be or have experienced that stress for long periods of time. You know, it's one thing to have a stressful day or a stressful afternoon, but if people are constantly feeling every day, I haven't got enough time, I've got so much to do, it's no wonder it makes people ill.
Yes, it does make people ill. It really does. And it's also, you could say, one of the problems too is that when you get so worked up like that, you lose contact with what I call your inner compass, that you have difficulty going within and finding out, you know, where are your limits? How much can you do? What is good for you and what is not good for you? That's almost a no-no for a lot of people who want to perform all the time.
Yeah.
But I've written a book called Find and Follow Your Inner Compass. That's another one of my books. And I say in that book that each person has to realize that we, each one of us, is totally unique. And no one else can feel for you how it feels to be you. And so to go within and get to know yourself a little bit better so that you are able to take better care of yourself and set limits.
Yeah.
Because people who often are, you know, they really have a good heart. They really want to do good in the world. They're very, again, this overly responsible for everyone else. But if you're shaky, if you collapse, if you end up being on sick leave because of stress, then you can't do anything for anyone.
Yeah.
So it's sort of, it's getting out of that cycle. And how do we do that? And one of the most important things is to try to get in contact with your inner guidance. That's what I mean by the inner compass, that you know better than anyone else what it feels like to be you. And that's a pretty surprising thing to say to people. I have noticed how shocked people come when they sit in my office here and I say that. They look like, oh my God, what is she saying?
Why do you think people struggle with that?
I think it's because we've been programmed from a very early age to please other people. And again, I'm not saying that we shouldn't be good human beings. I'm not saying that we shouldn't treat other people respectfully, but all the time sort of having our antennas out. So, you know, like it starts at a very early age, pleasing mom and dad. And then, you know, then we go to school and it's pleasing our friends and the teachers. And we haven't learned self-referral. I call the inner compass self-referral. In other words, that you have an inner knowingness about you that no one else can possibly have.
Yeah. And it's okay to say no.
Yes, that's the other thing. It's okay to say no. It's good for other people and it's good for you. But it's really, really difficult for many people to set boundaries, to say no, to say that this is not going to work. But again, when I coach people, I usually say before we get to the no, there are many things we can do in between. In other words, we can ask for help. We can learn to be more assertive. We can delegate, better time management, all the things that we've been talking about. They are steps that we can take along the way. But when push comes to shove in the final analysis, you have the right to say no.
Mm. And it feels foreign to us sometimes, the idea of taking care of ourselves first or putting ourselves first, because as you say, we've been brought up to think that we need to put other people first because that's the right thing to do. That's kind. That's nice. That's generous. That's thoughtful, you know, so we want to be good people. But at the same time, self-care and self-love is really, really important for mental health and mental well-being.
Absolutely. Well, I have an example in my Inner Compass book I was a single mother with three, and I had three sons. And when we used to fly when they were small and go somewhere on holiday or whatever we did, I remember it was really interesting. The stewardess always said, you know, when the oxygen masks come down, so they would always come over to me and say, you're the mother. Before you put the mask on your little kids, put it on yourself first. And why did they say that? Because if the mother doesn't take care of herself, in other words, if I didn't have any oxygen and passed out, who is going to look after the three kids? So it's kind of the same here, that healthy self-care is a prerequisite to being of service and doing a good job and being kind and supportive of other people. So we have to keep that in mind, healthy self-care. I mean, we're not talking about being a narcissist and being only occupied with your own well-being. We're not talking about that, but a healthy balance between taking care of others, supporting others, and taking care of yourself. So many good people are struggling with that issue.
Yeah. Well, then they need to read your book, Healthy Models for Relationships. And the book is available on our website in the bookshop section. And there's so much good advice in there. It's by Barbara Berger, who we've been chatting with today. Barbara, always a pleasure having you with us on the show.
Thank you so much for having me, Anna.
Speak soon. Bye-bye.
Bye.